First things first. Jordan felt terribly weary by the time he and Aditi returned to their hotel suite, across the public square from Barcelona's 14th-century Gothic cathedral. I hadn't expected that, he admitted as he dropped onto the handsomely striped sofa in their sitting room. Aditi stood uncertainly in the middle of the big carpeted room. Late afternoon sunshine was pouring through the windows, although the noise from the busy streets below was completely blocked by the acoustical oscillators mounted on every window in the hotel.
"Did I do the wrong thing?" she asked. "Should I have kept silent about our communications capability?"
Jordan smiled up at her and patted the cushion next to him. "No, you were perfectly correct," he said, as she sat down beside him. "Never lie or try to hide the truth. Rudaki had it figured out already. If you hadn't been completely open and honest, it would have raised a lot of suspicions among the council."
"Chairwoman Halleck seemed to pounce on the idea."
Jordan sighed. "She sees power in it."
"How short-sighted," said Aditi. "How sad."
Jordan looked into her troubled eyes. "Can you really communicate with Audrey in real time?"
"Almost real time."
"The equipment?" Aditi tapped her curly auburn hair.
"It's in here. Installed when I..."
She hesitated.
"Installed before birth."
Jordan nodded. He understood what she meant. Aditi and the others of New Earth had been gestated in artificial wombs, like the biovats human agro-engineers used to cultivate meat. "Have you been in contact with Audrey?"
"Now and then."
"Could you contact him now?"
"Yes, of course. It might take a few hours, though."
He smiled wanly. "That's better than 8 years one way." Aditi smiled back at him, then sat primly on the sofa beside Jordan and closed her eyes. After a few moments, she opened them again and said,
"I have sent Audrey our entire meeting with the World Council."
"Just like that?" he marveled. A little apologetically, Aditi replied,
"It's given me something of a headache, I'm afraid."
Jordan reached for her hand. "Perhaps a little fresh air is what you need." They went for a stroll on the Ramblas, a collection of streets lined with shops and restaurants and theaters, where all of Barcelona seemed to be parading every hour of the day and long into the night. Along the broad median separating the two sides of the streets were stalls that vended everything from holographic digital dancers to ice cream cups. Half the city seemed to be walking along, shopping, eyeing one another, the women in colorful sweaters or dresses, the men in smart jackets and slacks. Everyone was talking, laughing, even singing. Walking silently, unsmilingly near them were half a dozen security agents of the World Council. Bodyguards, Jordan thought. But he wondered how far they would allow him and Aditi to go from the hotel. Holographic salesmen dotted the sidewalk, and women. People walked right through their images, the ultimate in ignoring a sales pitch. Sleek, open-topped cars glided by almost silently on the streets, their occupants protected from the weather by invisible energy shields. More money in Mitch's pocket, Jordan thought, with a wry smile. He marveled at the sheer exuberance of these Catalonians. Over the centuries, they had built a magnificent, vibrant city for themselves, a city that pulsated with the pure joy of life and protected it against the floods that had swamped so many other cities. Yet Barcelona and its people were doomed, Jordan knew. The entire Earth was under a death sentence. "Unless I can get them to act. Unless I can make them understand what's in their future." As he and Aditi nibbled at tapas at a sidewalk bistro, under the watchful eyes of their security detail, she noticed his abstracted mood.
"You're not happy, Jordan."
"How can I be? Knowing what we know, how can we be anything but depressed?" She nodded and reached for her glass of carbonated water.
"It will take time to convince them. You knew that when we left New Earth."
"But there are other worlds that don't have time," he insisted. "Worlds that need our help. We've got to..."
"Jordan,"
Aditi said quite seriously,
"we will do what we can. We will do what we must.
But will it be enough?" Cocking her head slightly to one side, Aditi smiled as she replied,
"We'll find out, sooner or later. For now, let's return to our hotel and see what Audrey has to say."
"You've established contact?"
"Yes, of course."
Of course, Jordan echoed in his mind. Nearly instantaneous communication, faster than light. She takes it for granted. They hurried back to their hotel. Jordan sank onto the sofa once again, and Aditi sat beside him. She pointed to the hollow wall, which showed a three-dimensional image of the nearby Pyrenees Mountains. They looked raw and sharp to Jordan. They'd been bare of snow since the first greenhouse warming had struck. The mountains faded away, and Audrey's kindly smiling face appeared. Jordan felt startled, despite himself.
"Friend Jordan," the old man began, "it is good to speak with you again."
Audrey was the leader of the small community of human-like people on New Earth. He appeared to be wearing a bluish robe, filigreed with delicate tracings. His face had a slightly Asian cast to it, completely bald, spider-webbed with age. His eyes were almond-shaped, pale blue, his skin a soft brownish-yellow, almost gray. He was smiling slightly, in a kindly, nearly fatherly way. Jordan saw that Audrey was in his office, if that was the proper word for it, a spacious, airy room on the top floor of the main building in the city that the aliens had built for themselves. Windows on every wall let in abundant sunlight. Through them, Jordan could see the city that he had lived in during his stay on New Earth.
"I'm afraid," Audrey began in his thin, almost whispering voice, "that a true conversation between us will be terribly awkward. Even though our communications travel faster than the speed of light, there is still a lag of almost an hour between us and you."
8.6 light-years traveled in less than an hour, Jordan murmured. "Not bad at all." But Audrey kept on talking without pause.
"I apologize for not discussing our communications capability with you earlier. As you recall, our policy has always been to answer your questions completely and honestly, but not to bring up new information until you show you are ready to deal with it by asking questions about it. The astronomer among your group, Dr. Rudaki, has become very interested in communicating faster than light, but of course she would be, with her interest in showing her observations to you."
Elise Rudaki, Jordan knew. Our team's astrophysicist, just like her father. He recalled that Elise and his brother Brandon had coupled on New Earth. He hoped their romance was flourishing. Audrey plowed ahead.
"As you know, friend Jordan, Aditi has sent me the meeting of your World Council. As we expected, they are not terribly upset by the news you have brought them. 2,000 years must seem like an impossibly long time to them, far too long for them to worry about.
But the other worlds, Jordan thought, the intelligent creatures who will be destroyed by the death wave in the next century or two." As if he could read Jordan's mind, Audrey continued.
"However, there are at least 6 other planets bearing intelligent species that are in imminent danger from the death wave. It is our hope that your people can save them. Intelligence is very rare in the universe. We cannot sit idly and allow an intelligent species to be destroyed. That would be tantamount to genocide. This is a heavy responsibility for you, I know. But I also know that you will strive your best to accomplish it. Most intelligent species destroy themselves before they reach true adulthood. You people of Earth are on the cusp. You are beginning to understand how precious intelligence is. You have the power to help other intelligent creatures to survive, to reach adulthood. But do you have the will to undertake this task?"
Holding up a lean, warning finger, Audrey continued,
"You are also dangerously near your own destruction. Already the climate shifts you have inadvertently triggered have devastated much of your world."
"What can we do?" Jordan blurted, even though he knew his words would not reach Audrey for nearly an hour. As if he anticipated the agonized question, Audrey went on.
"You are alone in this quest, friend Jordan. You and Aditi. I can counsel you and offer an old man's advice. But it is you who must convince your fellow humans that they must reach out to the creatures who are in danger of succumbing to the death wave. The responsibility is on your shoulders, yours and Aditi's."
Jordan turned toward his wife, sitting beside him. She looked just as awestruck as he himself felt